Turning your Bibles this morning to Joel chapter 2. We spent some time earlier this year on in the book of Hosea. And so, there we go. The book of Joel is right after the book of Hosea. Joel chapter 2. We want to read verse 17. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. And let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it addresses every situation of life, whatever the circumstances are. We thank you that we can find the answer to all of our questions, to all of our difficulties and problems. We can find the answer here in your word. We pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning and show us the desperate hour in which we're living and the need for your people to stand. We pray that you might speak to any here who are lost, that they might understand their need to be saved. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Tuesday is primary election day here in North Carolina. If you have not voted early, then Tuesday is your last chance to vote in this primary and to make a difference. The founders of this nation, I believe, expressed something of the importance of voting when they said in the Declaration of Independence that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, and there are two ends of government that the founders are talking about. The first end is that government is to derive its just powers from the consent of the governed. This is what Abraham Lincoln would later describe as government of the people, by the people, and for the people. The second end is that government is to secure the unalienable rights with which the Creator God has endowed us: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And so with these two ends in mind, the founder said that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, and folks, our government has become destructive of these ends. It has become destructive of deriving its just powers from the consent of the governed. You and I gave no consent, nor have we to this day given any consent to the 87 executive orders put in place by Joe Biden since he took office. Many, if not most of which, are governing against the will of the people. You and I gave no consent recently to the establishment of the Disinformation Governance Board as part of the Department of Homeland Security. That board will be a ministry of truth. A ministry of truth to decide what is true and what is not, and to come after those who it deems are giving out disinformation. May I show you a huge disinformation book as far as they're concerned? It's this book right here, the Word of God. It'll be disinformation to preach the message of this book. The message that homosexuality is an abomination to God. The message that transgenderism is an abomination to God. The message that marriage is between a man and a woman. That'll be disinformation. You and I gave no consent that allowed Attorney General Merrick Garland to label parents who came to school board meetings to exercise their First Amendment right to free speech to express their concern over what their children were being taught, namely critical race theory and transgenderism. They're labeled as domestic terrorists. And that has brought on many of them the full weight and the power of the Department of Justice. Pretty scary thing when that happens. When you are faced with people who have unlimited financial resources to, I started to say persecute, and that's pretty much what it is, to persecute you in court, and you don't have those kind of resources, makes the playing field pretty unlevel. This government has become destructive of deriving its just powers from the consent of the governed. This government has become destructive of life. 63.8 million babies murdered since Roe versus Wade in 1973. According to an article in Life News, in the three physical years 2016 through 2018, Planned Parenthood received $1.8 billion of our money. It's another example of the government governing against our will. That's an average of $600 million a year from the government. That makes this government the biggest funder and supporter of abortion in this country. Again, another example of governing against the consent of the governed. This government has become destructive of life. And while we're thinking about life, how about the lives of these five Supreme Court justices? Their lives have been very uncomfortable. Their lives have been, some would argue, in danger since this preliminary decision was leaked. And by the way, what did the U.S. Senate do? Anything to help them? No. What the U.S. Senate tried to do after the leak of this preliminary majority opinion that would overturn Roe versus Wade. And it's not going. This decision is not going to eliminate abortion in this country. Doesn't matter what you hear on the news. It's not going to eliminate abortion in this country. The Senate attempted to pass a bill that would put the provisions of Roe versus Wade into federal law. But since this preliminary decision was leaked and the addresses of the justices who supported it were leaked, there's been protests and picketing outside of their houses to the point that one report said that Justice Alito has had to go into hiding. Where's the Department of Justice? Why aren't they enforcing 18 U.S. Code 1507? That law says whoever, with the intent of interfering with, obstructing or impeding the administration of justice, or with the intent of influencing any judge, pickets or parades in or near a building housing a court of the United States, or in or near a building or residence occupied or used by such judge, or with such intent uses any sound truck or similar device, or resorts to any other demonstration in or near any such building or residence, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 1 year or both. Hear that news on Channel 5? How many of these thugs have been arrested? None that I know of. Why? Because this mob is doing the bidding of a government that wants to influence, that wants to intimidate Justices Alito and Thomas and Gorsuch and Kavanaugh and Barrett into changing their vote. Just takes one. Just takes one. And Roe versus Wade will stand. Folks, this is what democracy, this is what mob rule looks like. And the founders rejected a pure democracy in this country in favor of a constitutional republic. This government has become destructive of life. This government has become destructive of liberty. Look no further than the height of the Chinese virus. Justice Alito said it about as well as it can be said. He said the pandemic has resulted in previously unimaginable restrictions on individual liberty. The COVID restrictions have highlighted the movement toward rule by experts. And I don't want to put words in Justice Alito's mouth, but I would say that the experts he's talking about are Dr. Fauci and the hundreds of scientists at the National Institute of Health, who it was revealed this week received previously undisclosed royalty payments estimated at $350 million from pharmaceutical and other firms between 2010 and 2020. Even Dr. Lawrence Tabak, he's the new National Institute of Health director, had to admit that these payments do present, quote, an appearance of a conflict of interest. You think? You think? You think that may be why ivermectin and other inexpensive and readily available medicines were rejected and made so hard to get so as to be practically banned as treatment for the Chinese virus? Justice Alito said the COVID restrictions have highlighted the movement toward rule by experts. Litigation about those restrictions has pointed up emerging trends in the assessment of individual rights. This is especially evident with respect to religious liberty. It pains me to say this, Alito said, but in certain quarters, religious liberty is fast becoming a disfavored right. It was in this state. Governor Cooper shut down the churches of this state. And he shut them down in total and complete violation of the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. That amendment says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Now somebody says that just applies to the federal government. It did until the incorporation doctrine in 1925 that makes the Bill of Rights applicable to the states. Sir Roy Cooper violated the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution as well as the Constitution of the state of North Carolina. It says, all persons have a natural and inalienable right to worship Almighty God according to the dictates of their own consciences, and no human authority shall in any case whatsoever control or interfere with the rights of conscience. This is what Justice Alito is talking about when he says, but in certain quarters, religious liberty is fast becoming a disfavored right. Governor Cooper faced no pushback, no repercussions from what he did. He wasn't taken to court, or he should have been taken. Now, I understand Return America took him to court to get a temporary restraining order so that we could meet. I understand that. But he should have faced charges. He violated the Constitution that he swore to uphold. No consequences. In fact, he was rewarded with re-election. Religious liberty fast becoming a disfavored right. North Carolina is one of those quarters. That's why churches were closed and abortion clinics were open. It's why the mass gathering law that restricted gatherings to no more than 10 was enforced when more than 10 people gathered to protest outside a Charlotte abortion clinic. But there were no restrictions on the number of babies whose lives were snuffed out inside that abortion clinic. That's why churches were closed and ABC stores were open. This is from WRAL.com, July the 8th, 2020. There was some controversy when Governor Roy Cooper ordered non-essential businesses to close down, including retail stores. But locally run ABC stores were allowed to stay open. Turns out that decision was a boon for business. From April through June, this is of 2020, ABC stores across the state had a combined $341 million in sales. Last year, during those same 3 months, stores sold just $246 million worth of liquor. Almost a $100 million increase. So the place that encourages people and makes it easy for people to do what God said not to do. God said in Ephesians 5:18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. That word excess means dissolute. It means depraved, lascivious, unbridled lust. It means profligate and promiscuous. That word excess is summarized and defined in Proverbs 23, where God tells us, beginning in verse 31, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. And Proverbs 23 and verse 33 says, thine eyes shall behold strange women. There is the excess of wine. There is the unbridled lust, the promiscuity, the lasciviousness of wine. In the place that encourages people and makes it easy for people to do what God says not to do. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. That place is allowed to stay open, and the place that preaches the truth of Proverbs 23 and Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit of God who comes into our hearts when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. The Spirit of God whose fruit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That place, the church of Jesus Christ, is closed. Think about it. There are all kinds of laws regarding the consequences of being drunk with wine, particularly as it relates to driving. But there is not a single law against being filled with the Spirit of God. Against such there is no law. And yet the place that encourages and promotes being drunk with wine is open. And the place that preaches and teaches about the need to be filled with the Spirit that begins with salvation is closed. The place that teaches that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty is closed. This government has become destructive of liberty. This government has become destructive of the pursuit of happiness. We've talked on a number of occasions that the pursuit of happiness is the freedom to choose. The freedom to choose. This government, and this is just one example, this government, through its war on oil, if you don't believe this government is at war with oil, I heard this week that the Biden administration's Department of Interior has revoked the licenses of 3 oil wells that were ready to go into production. 1 in Texas, 2 in the Gulf of Mexico. This government is forcing the people of this nation to drive less by driving up the price of oil. On this day, 2 years ago, you know how much gas was? $189.9. Today it's $419.9 if it hadn't gone up this morning. That's an increase of $2.30 a gallon. 221%. Doesn't happen by accident. That kind of increase restricts and reduces the freedom to choose of the people of this nation. The government is seeking to reduce your freedom to purchase a gas-powered car by trying to make it prohibitively expensive to operate one so that you will choose to walk or maybe ride a bicycle or maybe take public transportation. But if you must drive, if you are bound and determined to drive, then what we want you to do is choose an electric car. Don't know how you're going to charge it. We're at war with coal, don't you know? We're at war with coal-fired power plants and natural gas-fired power plants and nuclear power plants. So go ahead and buy your electric car. Best of luck for being able to charge it. This is the war on oil. I've thought a couple of times about showing you a video called Secrets of Oil. I don't know how many of you have ever seen it. And we may do that in the not too distant future. How many of you have seen Secrets of Oil? I think you kids, some of you kids have seen it. We showed it in history class. I think Ms. Owens maybe showed it. But it's very, very revealing. But see, it's not just travel choices and transportation choices that are being affected. It's food choices. Baby formula choices. The FDA, there was a plant in, I think, Wisconsin, Abbott Labs, big plant, was shut down. Back in February, there were 4 babies. 2 were very sick, 2 died. We're not minimizing that. But Abbott's investigation, and I believe the government's investigation, revealed that there was no problem there in that plant. That plant is still shut down, folks. It's waiting FDA approval. And here in a couple of weeks, the House or the Senate, one of them is going to hold hearings about it. And in the meantime, babies need formula. Food choices. Food choices are going to be restricted because fertilizer is made from oil. There's less oil. I heard the other day, fertilizer costs are up 150%. Diesel fuel runs the tractors that cultivate and plant and harvest the land. Diesel fuel runs the trucks and the trains that bring the food. And if there's less oil, there'll be less food planted, less food harvested, less food transported, and therefore less food to choose from. And it's all based on a lie. It's all based on the lie of climate change. Man, just as Paul says in Romans chapter 1, has changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature, that word means creation, more than the Creator. The Creator, who says in Genesis 8:22, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. The Creator who says in Jeremiah 5:22, fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence? Which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass it. And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail. Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it. This government has become destructive of the pursuit of happiness, the freedom to choose. And the founder said, whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it. The way that we do that today is by getting out and voting. Voting to institute new government. Voting to elect men and women who will govern by the principles of and return this nation to the foundation upon which it was founded. The Word of God, the Declaration of Independence, and the Constitution. The threefold cord upon which this country was built. This is how the Lord can spare His people and deliver His heritage from being ruled over by the heathen. We can vote to remove the heathen from office. There in the back, you'll find the voter guides, the sample ballots that will tell you the men and women that we need in these positions. You need to take one for yourself if you haven't voted. You need to take some and give them out to people you know. People, you can't grab them by the collar and force it on them. But you run into people who want to know who to vote for. People that you can influence, not just to go in and vote without knowledge, or to vote for someone because some high-profile person endorses them, and that's all that you need to know. People need to vote according to knowledge, and there is great depth of knowledge behind the choices on those ballots. I believe in a very real way that we are voting this year for how the future of this church and school will be impacted. I believe our vote will determine whether we will continue to lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, or whether persecutions and afflictions will hound our ministries at every turn. This is what's at stake beginning on Tuesday. Will you get out and vote? Now, why would we even ask Christians that? Why would we even ask Christians that? Of course Christians get out and vote. If anybody gets out and votes, isn't it Christians? No. According to an article on CBN News, there are 90 million Christians who are eligible to vote. But as many as 40 million fail to vote in presidential election cycles. 40 million that don't vote in presidential election cycles. How much more will that be true in an off-year election? The converse of that is that our votes can be magnified. If Christians would get out and vote in a low turnout election, which off years typically are, our votes are magnified. They're multiplied, the effect of them. 15 million Christians, according to this article, are not even registered to vote. Think about that. That's why we need to ask that question. Will you get out and vote? Will you get out and vote? Will you take a stand? The days for doing that are coming to a close because the Lord Jesus is coming soon. And then it'll be too late to stand for Him. It'll be too late to turn the tide. It'll also be too late to be saved. You may be a conservative and a patriot, but if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, then you're going to be left behind when the Lord comes, and you will become part of this one world system. God is going to send you a strong delusion that you might believe a lie. And everything that you might have stood for, you'll turn against. And you're going to worship and embrace the one world government and its leader, the Antichrist. You'll receive his mark. And 2 Thessalonians tells us that you will be damned because you receive not the love of the truth that you might be saved. Today is the day of salvation. Today, you can receive the love of the truth, the message of the gospel, that Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day. Today, you need to repent. You need to give up your rebellion and you need to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ from your sin and trust Him and Him alone to be your Savior. We know Him today, folks. We need to be very active. We need to be voters. We need to be voters. We need to do what the founder said. When a government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it. That altering starts Tuesday. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this country that you have established and founded. We thank you that you have allowed us to be a part of it, to live here in the greatest nation on earth. And Father, we confess to you so many times we don't participate in the electoral process as we should. We don't vote. We don't talk to people about the critical issues that are facing this nation. We don't talk to people about the liberty that is at stake. This is not business as usual, where one time the Republicans win and another time the Democrats win. And it's not that. This nation hangs in the balance today. And we pray that you would impress that upon our hearts. But over and above that, we pray that you would impress upon our hearts the lateness of the hour. Yet very soon the Lord Jesus is going to come. And our time for living for Him and being used of Him, of giving out the message of the gospel, will come to an end. Most of the people that we come in contact with, according to your word, are lost. They're lost. They're on the road to destruction. We pray that we would have a burden today for those who do not know you as their Savior, that we would stand for you in this evil day. To that end, we pray that you would bless this church and school, that we would continue to be a light in this community. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.